We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to 91.5 WMIE FM right here in Cocoa, Florida. We are also thankful that you could be listening to WWBC 1510 AM. If you happen to be listening at 10:30 of a morning, you are currently, right this very second, listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs. And we're thankful that we get to spend the next half hour with you. You know, we're going on our fifth year of doing this, and I'm still looking for creative ways to communicate, and rather than just going through the same words over and over and over again. And so, you know, some of them work, some of them don't work. But anyway, it is a wonderful Wednesday right here, and we want to take this opportunity to invite you out. Our kids have a midweek service tonight. We start serving food at 6 o'clock. We have a joint worship service with the kids, boys' ministries and girls' ministries, at 6:30 to about 6:45. Then we break into our various classes. We have three girls' classes. We have one boys' class. I teach that. It has a pretty wide age range there in that. And then at 7 o'clock, we have an adult Bible study that begins. And so it runs till about 7:45. There's some praise and worship, some prayer time, and then they get into the Word. I am so thankful for the Word of God. It is something that God has gifted to us, and I think that we need to appreciate that gift. Avail ourselves of its wisdom. It's settled forever in heaven and on earth, and I think that we would behoove ourselves if we would avail ourselves of that great blessing. One of the things that we would talk about today is in Matthew chapter 13. We're talking about persecution, how to successfully deal with it, not to just, you know, grin and bear it, but there are ways that we can get through it for the glory of God. And in Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 through 21, you see the parables of the seeds and how well that they do. It's the parable of the sower. I'll just go ahead and read this for you, since I was talking about the Word, and then we'll move back in the scriptures to where we're going to spend most of our time today. Matthew chapter 13, verse number 18, "Therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles." Do you realize that the Word of God is something that the enemy combats against? Here we have more technology. We've got more sermons available than ever before. We have more video that's been available than ever before. We've got more translations of the Bible. We've got commentaries coming out the wazoo. You've got radio, you've got television, you've got video, you've got YouTube, Facebook, and all of these various ways to avail ourselves of the Word of God. You got apps on your phone that you can take the Word with you in audio or digital format wherever you go. All of this, and yet there still remains a tremendous amount of biblical illiteracy. And because of that, because we do not know what the Word of God says, or we do not recognize it as the Word of God in an authoritative manner, we just simply view it as a suggestion, then there are many people who will never understand that when you take a stand on the Word, when you are rooted and grounded in God's Word, that the world is going to do whatever it can to try and separate the Word from us and us from the Word. You see, when everything else is falling away, there's an old saying, it's not a biblical saying, but misery loves company. And that is that when people realize in this world of shifting sands where nothing is stable and nothing can withstand how do I want to say this? Nothing can withstand the pressures from the enemy. There's no stability in sin. It's an unstable foundation. That when you are rooted and grounded and everything else is falling apart, instead of latching on to you, they want to try and separate you from that which is keeping you grounded. And that's kind of weird. When I was just a kid, I was invited to go with a friend of mine. He's a neighbor that lives down the street. And we were invited to go to this community swimming pool. I wasn't a very tall young man. At that point in time, I would have been 4 foot something. I just not real tall. And I wandered off and I got into the deep end and I was in trouble. And I couldn't touch the bottom. And I was really struggling to stay afloat at that point in time. And my friend saw that I was in trouble. So he came over to help me to find stability. Well, I found something solid, and so I was trying to use him to prop myself up, and I almost drowned him in the process. We both survived. But rather than him or me trying to separate him from his stability, I was thankful for his stability. I was thankful he had a firm grasp on the bottom, to be quite honest with you. And yet the world is not that way. The world wants to separate us from the Word. Isn't it interesting that you used to have the Bible as the primary reading teaching aid here in America, and now you would probably be lucky to find one. I remember when I was going to school that my teacher had a Bible on her desk. Now I don't think that would ever be permitted. When I was in school, they had just come out with this thing where you could no longer pray in school and all of that sort of stuff. But my school offered an English literature class, and so half of it was biblical and half of it was Greek mythology. That was the way that they were able to teach that. The Word of God is something that grounds us. It helps us to withstand persecution. It helps us to endure when times of difficulty arise, and it keeps us from stumbling. It keeps us from falling and injuring ourselves. It is a gift from God. And so today I want to encourage you, like I've said before, the best time to prepare for persecution is when persecution is not going on, and that is you need to know the Word of God. I need to know the Word of God. I was just communicating to our church here a couple of weeks ago. I said, this is a verse that I've known. It's a verse that I've preached, but the Holy Spirit just quickened it to me, and I wanted to share with you what the Holy Spirit quickened to me, and that is that God is speaking to you on a daily basis. He speaks to you morning. He speaks to you in the nighttime. God's voice is there to be heard. His Word is there to be appreciated, and it will help keep us grounded even during times of persecution. So if you'll turn back a couple of chapters, you're going to find Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. I'm going to read several verses here today. Verse number 21, this is going to sound like it hits pretty close to home because it does. It says, Matthew 10:21. Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another, for assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they've called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Therefore, do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. So this passage begins talking about persecution and that there is unrest in the home. There's domestic unrest. There is generational unrest between parents and children, children and parents, and there is cultural unrest that is going on. All of this unrest is not just generational or home issues. It's not just cultural issues, but it is on account of the name of Jesus Christ. It is all rooted and based in God, his kingdom, and who we are. And I want you to know, I think that there is a great deal to be said for appreciating being a member of the household of faith. We'll talk about that a little bit more in this situation here. So the thing to do, it says, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. So you and I, we need to continue to remember that even in the midst of the most unpleasant circumstances that you can imagine, we've got to endure. Do not give up. When you adopt this mindset, quitting God is not an option, then you have just begun a whole new level in your relationship with God. There is no exit strategy. There is no exit plan. There's no plan B. There is simply God. Okay? That's the best plan. It's the only plan you need. I had a saying when my kids were growing up and they would ask me why. And I said, this was my response. Because I said so, that's the best reason I know and the only one that you need. Now, that didn't mean that I wasn't going to explain things to them. But when it came to obedience should not have to be based upon an understanding of the facts, but because of an understanding of the relationship. That the things that are said, the things that are done, are in the best interest of those of whom you have authority. Okay, so whenever I'm an employer and I speak to an employee, I would always do so in what was the best interest for them. Now, it might not be the most convenient for them. It might not be what they liked to do, but it was always in their best interest. It might be setting them up to succeed, but it also might have been corrective so that they didn't fail in the past. It was because I didn't want them to continue to make the same mistake over and over again. And so that's what he says. Endure to the end. Don't give up. Take that right off the table. You want a simple thing? Persecution will not prevail over my relationship with God. You know, the devil's strategy is still the same. If you touch Job, if you touch his family, if you touch his possessions, if you touch his flesh, then he will curse you. He will denounce you to your face. He will turn his back on you, because children of God are only in it for the convenience. That's where the devil's at with you. He does not realize that it is a covenant relationship, not a relationship convenience. He thinks it's convenient, and he doesn't understand that it's covenant. Verse number 28, when they persecute you in this city, flee to another, for assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. Here's what Jesus told the disciples when persecution came to the city that they were living in, came into their house, came into where there was generations, everything that was going on because of relationship with Jesus. When persecution comes, this is what verse number 23 says, stay on task. He says, if persecution arises in this city, go to another city. But don't stop communicating the gospel. He said, there's always going to be an audience. There's always going to be someone who needs to hear. You and I stay on task. And in the book of Acts, Paul went to a town and persecution arose. And he went to another town and persecution arose. And the disciples came and they took him to Athens and they said, We're going to go back. We're going to try and get things calmed down. You stay here. Don't make a mess of this situation. So what does Paul do? He's walking around Athens. He sees the tomb to the unknown God. And he says, hey, I noticed that y'all are very religious. You got this tomb even to a God, to honor a God that you don't even know. You're wanting to honor this God you don't even know. How about if I introduce you to him? And the next thing you know, Paul is preaching on Mars Hill. He's preaching about the resurrection. They mocked him, but there were people who came to faith in Jesus Christ. Do you know what? They put Paul in prison in Philippi, and he witnessed to the jailer. He would preach in Berea. He would preach in Thessalonica. He would preach to a prison guard that was guarding him on the way to Rome. He would preach to a ship captain. You know what he said? He said, I don't care wherever you send me, wherever I go, I'm always going to find an audience of someone who needs to hear about the goodness of God. We need to make sure that we stay on task. The best way to do that is be on task before persecution and not wait until persecution and try to discover what we're doing here. Verse number 24, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? When I was preparing for this, it's like, wow, he just said right there in the midst of this teaching on persecution that the people of his household were not necessarily people who shared the same physical DNA. They were the teacher and the disciple. They were the students of the Word of God. They were disciples who were out there proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. For you and I think it is very important for us to maintain that identity that God is our Heavenly Father. And when you are doing something for God and they label you as doing something for the devil, then he says, that's exactly the way that they treated me. You see, the only thing that is a danger to deception is truth. Light is extremely threatening to darkness. So we represent truth, we speak the truth, we live the truth, we teach the truth, we reflect the light of Jesus Christ into this world, and we recognize that we are still a member of the household of faith, and the way that they treated Jesus is the way that they treated us. And so you just say, praise God. Do you realize that the disciples in the book of Acts actually celebrated when they were counted worthy to suffer persecution? That's a completely different concept than what the world would have us to believe. The devil says, man, if I just cause you a little bit of pain, I'll get you to withdraw back into your shell just like a turtle. And the early church said, man, whenever you persecute us, it's like saying sick 'em to a bulldog. Throughout the years, I've taught our congregation this, and that is whenever you go out to eat, ask your congregation or ask your waiter or your waitress, when they come to take your order, just simply ask them this question. Is there anything that we can pray for you about? It's not a long question. It doesn't take long. And through the years, many times I've had some very heartfelt things. There's been lots of health issues I've prayed for, lots of sons and daughters that I've prayed for. One waiter, he said, I think I've had you as a customer before when I worked for a different restaurant chain. And you know what that told me? That little brief conversation out of all of the conversations that a waiter or waitress has made an impact on that man's life. He said, I remember people asking me that. And so it makes a difference. Well, a few weeks ago, I asked a server that question and was told that not only don't pray for me, don't even ask me that question. I'm of a different faith, and you praying for me would be offensive to me. So I couldn't even tell you that person's name, but I can tell you this. We're still praying for them. they might want to, they may have thought that they were not disclosing a need in their life, but actually they disclosed that they had a great spiritual need. And the only answer to that spiritual need is Jesus. And whenever you tell a preacher not to pray for you, guess what? We're going to pray for them. We're going to pray that Jesus who died on the cross to save them. You say, well, they're perfectly content with their faith. Okay. But God's got something better for them than the God they're serving. I guarantee you God's got something better for them than the God they're serving. And so we're going to pray for them. Verse number 26, therefore do not fear, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. And so the third step that I want to talk to you about today, first of all, is stay on task. Second is recognize that they're going to say that the things that you are doing are demonic instead of Christ-like. The third one is don't be afraid. Persecution is all about terrorizing Christians and paralyzing them through fear. And Jesus said, don't be afraid of what they can do to you, because what they can do to you has no everlasting, cannot do any everlasting damage. So no fear, no anxiety. Now, here's the thing. The spirit of boldness, the spirit of power and of love and a sound mind that comes upon you so that you recognize that God has not given you the spirit of fear, that's not something that comes from you. It comes from God. You just continue to live boldly. Live boldly now when it's easy. Live boldly now when you're young, and you will still be living boldly when you are old. Live boldly in your middle, and don't put it off another day. Just say, you know what? I am going to continue to live. Here's what I have found through my journey of faith, and that is God has been faithful every step of the way. And whenever there has been pain that has been inflicted by others, there's still been a healer that would rise with healing in his wings. There was still a king upon the throne that would issue a decree. He would send forth his word and heal and deliver and provide. God is infinitely better than what the devil is bad. God is good. I mean, the devil is a horrible, horrible individual. He lies, he murders, he kills, he steals, he destroys. I mean, there's nothing in there that's desirable at all. But God is life, he is joy, he is peace, he is eternity. He is a healer, he's a provider. he's just infinitely better. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Number 30, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. The fourth thing that I would like to share with you from this particular passage is that remember that God cares for you so much that he knows what you have need of before you even ask. He knows the very number of hairs on your head. He considers you worth more than all of creation. He considers you even worth more than being worshipped upon the throne. Jesus was willing to get off the throne, come and live among us in a very humbling manner. Die on the cross a humiliating death and rise from the because he values eternity with us. So don't ever believe the lie that God's forgotten about you. He doesn't care about you. Number five is in verses 32 and 33. And that is, however you want God to treat you is the way that you need to act before people. If you confess Jesus before men, you are going to be confessed before the Father by Jesus in heaven. If you deny Jesus before men, it says in verse 33 that Jesus will also deny you before the Heavenly Father. So we need to live out now, sow the seed of how we want to be treated right now because Jesus is paying attention. He's paying attention. Okay, verse number 37 says this. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Remember that the kingdom of God is oftentimes a paradox to the flesh. The devil says, your faith in Jesus Christ is getting ready to cost you this unless you deny him. And Jesus says, because of your faith, this attempt to steal it is getting ready to set you up for life on a whole new level. The day that David faced Goliath, people were literally shaking in their boots. They said, you can't overcome this. And he said, look, I've been in this battle before. The only difference between then and now is the size of the enemy before me. I did see this thing the other day, and it says, if God sets a Goliath before you, that's because he believes that there's a David inside of you that can conquer that Goliath. Keep your priorities straight. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He will never ever let you down. See you tomorrow, right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@Hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.